Welcome to the San Antonio Baptist Association. You're listening to a Sabbath Talks podcast.
This is Roland Lopez here at Sabbath Talks, and we would like to welcome around the table today George Ramirez, who is the pastor of the Springs here in San Antonio, and also Herb Helbison, who is also a pastor here in San Antonio of the Exchange Life Church. And we have with us Sammy Lopez, who is the pastor of Mighty Fortress Christian Fellowship here in San Antonio. And so we will be kind of just kicking around and sharing today about... this is just a conversation, a very informal conversation, but I believe it will have a lot of substance, and so I hope that you are listening to this Saba Talks podcast. And George, why don't you tell us, maybe kind of kick us off as to what's going through your mind as far as church planting and church starts and maybe even some of the trends.
Okay. Yeah, as we were getting ready for this podcast, I was thinking about how, you know, the trends of church planting have changed. There've been a lot of different things going on in the area of church planting, and so the first thing that came to my mind was how many churches right now are utilizing different types of space to plant their churches. In fact, just a little while ago, we were in another meeting where they were talking about how there's a church here in San Antonio, a biker church, who's going to be moving into the Harley-Davidson facility, and they're going to be having their church there, which makes sense, right? Because if they're a biker church, if they're reaching the biker, they're going to go to the Harley-Davidson Center, which they've opened the door for them to meet there. I mean, that makes sense, you know? And then, of course, there's other churches that we know of in that are part of Saba that have launched and started right from the get-go out of the YMCAs.
Chad Shapiro has been one of the individuals that have been very instrumental in moving in that direction. I believe that Brother Herb Helbison is. How long have you been now a pastor of a new church, brother?
So we kind of stepped into it about almost 10 years now.
Okay.
And at that time, it was just about one family. We took over a church plant. And so we picked it up from there. So it's been about 10 years.
Uh-huh. And what has been your experience? And of course, the trends, I'm sure, today has changed. So what was the trends back then that brought you to move in a direction to maybe where you're worshiping in another church building, but y'all are cohabitation and y'all, it's been working out pretty well.
Right. Well, I think it's fascinating because I think that we're living at a time like never before where there are stores that are closing down. I mean, there's spaces that people are moving into and meeting at. And that was actually what we thought we might do. And we actually moved into a unique situation where we are actually sharing a space with another church. And it helps that my wife is married, is a daughter of the pastor. But I also believe that, you know, Pastor George has a heart because he knows that if we're allowing people to fall in love with Jesus, he sees that as a win. He sees that as success. And it's not just with ours, but other ministries that have been able to move into that. He's opened up his building because he's like for the kingdom. And I love that. And so for us, that's worked because we thought that year one, we would come in and take over the world.
It's dynamic, yeah.
Yeah, and then God humbled me and realized that there was a lot I needed to learn, that there was no way. Like you said, when we were talking before, is that you think you want this dog, but once you catch him, what are you going to do with this barking dog once you catch him? And at that time, had I gotten the church that I wanted, there was no way that I could have that capacity to lead these people because there was so much that I needed to learn in the past 10 years that I'm barely scratching the surface. Mm-hmm. And so being able to come into a space that they have opened up for me to learn and fail and grow and just try different things, man, I'm just scratching the surface of what it really means. And so so what I thought I wanted, there was no way I was ready for that.
Well, you know, brother, one of the things that always challenges of a church, new church plant, is the finances, money. It's always money, right? So like in the case of let's say, Sammy, I know you've started a church before and Herb as well. Can you guys chime in on how using a lease space or a rented space or a borrowed space helps with the finances in a new church start or a new church plant?
Yeah, so I think every church has its own personality, its own character, and its own direction. I remember when we first started, we had no money. Lord brought me out of Dallas, well, actually San Antonio, to go to Houston to go start a church in Houston. And after starting a church in Houston, man, we had nothing at all. Mm-hmm. So what we did is we asked a Ryan's restaurant if we could reserve every Sunday the little back banquet room, right. and that's how we started, with no money down, and just eating there. So the reality is that your tithe and offering was a $10 plate, and free thank you Jesus free rolls, right? So that was the dynamics of how we did things in Houston. And of course, later on, as you begin to grow, you begin to fill out exactly what you're able to do financially, especially when it comes to whether it be a storefront or something of that nature. I think what happens, one of the biggest misconceptions of every congregation, especially a new church start, is how they have to have a building, they have to do this, they have to do that, when the reality is that sometimes we bite off more than we can chew, and we'll wind up putting our congregations in a situation where they're trying to pay more than they're even worshiping more, right? Yeah. So what we did, we went from Ryan's restaurant again to a community center, and the community center basically said, "Well, look, if you can help us with our after school programs, we'll let you do this thing for $100 a month," and we helped them with their after school programs. Mm-hmm. So it helped us to help them, and they helped us at the same time.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that we're seeing. This is the partnerships that are coming out in this new trend. There's a lot of partnerships with church plants, nonprofits, even non-Christian businesses that are willing to open up the space. Herb, now that you have planted the church and you're in there, well, how has that helped you not having to have that financial burden as you start and learn the things you've learned about church planting?
Oh, it's huge because it takes the weight off, so I'm able to focus on areas of ministry that otherwise would have burdened me with the finances. But and not only that, but I don't know if I'm accurate here, but I feel like we've also been able to be a blessing to the church as well, being able to bring ideas together. And so it's almost, we come into it, and it's almost like a baby. At first, a baby can do nothing for you, but as the baby begins to grow, and then they're able to contribute. And so I think that, we took a lot of time and space in the beginning, but as we've been able to grow, we've been able to use some of our resources to help what's there and build what God is doing in the church.
Yeah, and the other churches that have come through there, it's been amazing because they've come in and they've like imparted
Absolutely.
Ideas and their understanding of technology and other things that we wouldn't have had if those guys hadn't come through. So,
right.
Yeah, also, I think that Sammy said something, then I'll come back to Herb. Mm-hmm. But Sammy said something about the community center. I'm sure, Sammy, that just the fact that you were there doing after-school programs, that put you in a network of individuals that do not know Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that automatically gives the church those people that need to know the Lord, and now you're connecting with people that are lost people.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing.
No, absolutely. Matter of fact, what we wanted to do is we saw it as a great way of creating dynamic relationship. If we're able to create relationship in such a way, matter of fact, the director of the community center became a member of our church.
Amen.
We baptized her and her daughter. And so not only that, you have teachers and other after-school programs that would go in there, whether it be football, soccer, computer. These teachers became members of our church.
Beautiful.
And so, and then when we left the community center, what was great about it, they followed us to the next place.
Wow.
It was not just there in the community center. So yes, if we can create dynamic relationships with community, there's your community.
Yep.
Basically, we'll utilize you, and you utilize us, and we'll create this structure. So,
which leads me in my observation with the Springs, where George Ramirez is the pastor, and Herb Helbison with Exchange Life. Because you're working together, then there is a people that attend there that maybe may feel more attracted to George as opposed to your church, and yet it is new people. It is people that are coming to know the Lord. And then I understand that there is a Hispanic church also that you guys had started there at the Springs. So now you've got three congregations worshiping in one building, and yet you have a network of people that you get to really pick from. It, you know, not that you don't want to knock on doors. It just means that people are coming to knock on your door. You know, does that make any sense?
It makes sense. And I mean, I'll ask Herbert, how has that, in other words, the fact of people coming in to your church, you know, without having to have an expectation as far as like, you know, okay, well, we're trying to build over here or go over here, and they can just, you know, it's already set. Just walking into that, how has that helped you?
It's been huge. Like I had mentioned earlier, for us being able to just focus in on discipleship, you know, some of the people that are coming in have never had a relationship with God ever in their life. And so, you know, there's something huge to be said. And I know we're going to talk about it in another podcast, but I mean, financially, just being able to go after their heart instead of their money first. I mean, and not that we're ever going after their money.
Right.
You know, we challenge people to give because that's putting God first, of course. But, you know, I'm after their heart. I'm after, you know, and so that takes a lot of the pressure off of just being able to disciple them and grow them. And it'll be years before they might ever give. And, you know, as a church planner, I got to be okay with that because I'm after their heart, shepherding them. And that's what comes first.
It's good.
Not me, bro. I tell them to give, bro.
Well, that's, you know, good. Well, those are good trends, and we're seeing it here at the at Saba. I'm learning some things from our church planners, how they're moving in a direction far beyond the time when I first started planning churches. I mean, man, this stuff is way ahead of the time when I started planning churches. Not that both were not good; it's just that one is good at the time, and now there's other times.
Because I was saying, I think the trend is: do we actually need a set building in order to do ministry? Going into the future, is that a necessity?
Not anymore. Matter of fact, you know, if I go back, I started my church when I was 22 years old. I'm 46 now, and if I would have started a church the way I started it 20 something years ago to today, I wouldn't make it. It's a different thing. It's a different ballgame.
Yeah.
It's a different mindset, different generation, different social class. But at the same time, I think we're seeing that it's less and less now focus on a building, and it's more and more how can you grab people together in certain concepts, certain ideas, certain ways.
So I
guess to answer your question, no, I don't think there.
Because before it used to be, you know, everybody would focus, be fixated on a building. We need a building, and that was all.
Right.
But now I think the new church planners are seeing that, you know what, we can have church anywhere.
Yeah. My son-in-law, just real quick, my son-in-law-to-be, John, he was just in Spokane, Washington, and he was with a church who meets outside across from a Planned Parenthood. It is 30 degrees outside with little snow flurries falling down, and over 300 people show up for that service.
So
you're talking about a completely different focus.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I mean, man, we'll complain if our church building, brother, it's too cold, turn off the fans. These people are outside 30 degree weather, and there are 300 people in there. So no, I don't think there needs to be
right
a necessity of a dynamic building, if you will.
Right.
As long as you have a dynamic group of individuals who are willing to work together.
And I think that's a trend of the mind of the church planner today. You know, that it's like, okay, it's not about, if we do get a building, wonderful, you know what I'm saying? But it's not necessarily the goal. The goal is not the building, you know, and I think that's good because in the past it was.
Yeah.
And you know, that's because, you know, there was a lot of need for what they thought was discipleship space or whatever. They would need different rooms or whatever. And that's not the case anymore.
You know, and if we were to hear from from our house church pastors or house church leaders. My goodness, they're not about the building. They're about multiplying. Mm-hmm. They're about, you know, they'll meet at homes. And we have just so many, excuses as to why we can't do it. But these guys always find an answer. Uh-huh. You know, how large should a house church be? Well, they say as large as your living room. How large is your living room? Well, I can fit 20 people. Well, 20 people. But from there, then you just move on to multiply to another house church and another house church and another house church. Well, that's pretty biblical. You know, they went from house to house and in the New Testament. Yeah. And so, yeah, there's some people in America where we live, they're going to love the flitter and the glitter of a building, and we justify it this way. Yeah. Oh, God needs you know, all kinds of churches. You know, I mean, it's almost like, man, we like both sides of the fence, yeah. You know. Yeah. But somewhere along the line, there's a New Testament model.
Exactly.
That's good.
No, I was going to say, I love what you were talking about with that with Planned Parenthood, because it's not just a dynamic group of people, but a dynamic cause. Yeah. And I think that more than ever, people want to be surrounded themselves with a cause that they can give their life to, something bigger than themselves. Yeah. And you know,
that's good,
if the building is the top of that, I don't think that's enough for people to see that I'm going to give my life to this. But so the building can come. I mean, you know, beautiful. If you got the building, you don't. But the cause is actually, I think, is going to create the way to be able to meet wherever you're going to meet, because people want to be a part of life.
That's good, Herb. Absolutely right. That's right. You want to be a part of a cause, bro. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, people are looking to be more a part of a movement, a moment, you know, as opposed to something that is structured, you know, of just, you know, trying to get a goal of a building or get a goal of a ministry that's not really making a difference in anybody's life. People looking for authenticity. And that's why the trend is, I think the trend is going that way more. You're going to see more churches popping up in, you name it. You just, you know, coffee shops, restaurants, you know, churches using churches, you know, community centers.
Offices.
Wherever, you know, people can meet. You're going to see more of that, I think, in the future. And I think that's a good thing, because I think it's going to put the focus where it needs to be on reaching people for Christ, not on a building.
That's right.
Well, we're glad that we're here at with Sabbath Talks, and we have shared with you today some trends in the area of church planting, and we thank the guys around the table today, and we'll go right on in to our next segment of Sabbath Talks.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Sabbath Talks podcast. We look forward to continuing our conversation next time in hopes of better connecting, encouraging, and